You used to just get up. Now it's a whole production. Let's change that. Get to Joint Relief Institute for fast, immediate pain relief. Covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
The season's over.
Ridiculous.
But hockey continues.
Thank God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
It's Blackhawks Live.
You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
It's Blackhawks Live, the offseason.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here, as always, with Jack Heinrich. We're here doing an off-season podcast edition because we are previewing the NHL draft, which is happening later this week. But Jack, first off, I want to ask how you're doing. It's been a busy weekend in NHL land, and we're going to get to that right away. But first, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm ready to talk some hockey after a lot of golf this weekend, but NHL's getting their way into that golf. Watching yesterday with all the news.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot happening on the sports calendar right now with the World Cup, with It was a golf major tournament over the weekend. Yeah, the NBA final, Stanley Cup final finish, and then now we're looking ahead, and the NBA draft is also this week.
Yeah,
but obviously in our sport, the NHL draft is happening too. We're going to get to the Blackhawks picking number 4 overall and how we see things potentially unfolding leading into that number 4 overall pick. But let's talk about kind of the league happenings that have happened, first of all, over the weekend, but also starting kind of back to last week with the Toronto Maple Leafs acquiring Darren Radish in a sign-and-trade. It feels like ever since the Stanley Cup final ended, and this typically happens every year, the NHL doesn't like when business, like league business, trades, signings, or whatever, happens during the Stanley Cup final, because the league likes when the all of the attention is just on the series itself. And so every year when the Stanley Cup final ends, it's like immediately trades start happening, that almost like they were kind of in the can waiting to be announced. And it felt like we saw that last week with the Radish deal and just with other things, but also the let's get to the Brady Tkachuk news that happened on Sunday night. We were just talking about it right before we hopped on the air, and kind of the league ramifications of this deal. Now, let's try to keep this Chicago-centric and not necessarily from an NHL perspective, because, Jack, I did see a lot of Blackhawks fans out there were disappointed that the Blackhawks weren't a potential fit for a guy like Brady Tkachuk or some of the other big-name players that are their names are in the rumor mill. And my response to that is, like, first of all, when you see a lot of these players that are kind of have these full no movement clauses and they want to like pick their next destination, you see the teams that they're submitting. Yeah. It's like 3 to 4 teams, and it's like Vegas, Florida, and then insert another Stanley Cup contender. So the list is very small. And with this situation with Brady Tkachuk going to Florida, clearly whatever happened in the meeting with Ottawa Senators GM Steve Staios and Brady Tkachuk in their exit interviews, there was some sort of indication that either Brady wanted to get traded or he communicated to them that when my deal is up in 2 years, don't expect me to re-sign. And so it was Steve Staios trying to get out in front of it and trading Brady Tkachuk to Florida to reunite with his brother in Florida. So a lot happening, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was a precursor to more deals that could happen leading into this weekend of the NHL draft around the NHL itself.
Yeah, this was really the big first bombshell. And I think a lot of Hawks fans wanted him because Brady fits what they need. You know, the power forward, he brings a little bit of that saltiness that they don't have. And it is tough because the new NHL now, it is all these star players sign their contracts and they have the no movement, and they don't reach free agency anymore, it seems like. We saw that with Mikko Rantanen last year. You think the Hawks have all this money and then these guys are going to come off the books and they just get traded and sign new deals. So I can see the frustration, but like you said, when they get that right in their contract to control where they go, it's hard. I mean, you said those guys were all Stanley Cup final contending teams. I think Minnesota was on there too. They got Quinn Hughes and Kirill Kaprizov. So it's like, it is tough when the Hawks aren't on there, and I guess they got to make some noise and prove it in the standings. But this team is ready for a player like that, so I can see why fans are getting a little antsy. Like, this is our time. We have all these picks. We have cap space, all that stuff, and They just haven't been able to find the right match. There's still guys out there, and there might be guys we don't even know about. Kyle Davidson seems like this is the most open he's been to making a move. I think there's reporting around the combine that he's met with like every GM, so he's out there looking. Now it's just about finding the match.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think from a Blackhawks perspective, they're ready to pull the trigger on a big deal if it makes sense for the organization in the long term. Like, the Hawks aren't going to go out into the free agent market and give an 8-year contract, $10 million cap hit to a player that's like 31 years old. Like, that doesn't make sense from a Blackhawks standpoint. But Kyle certainly has made it known, both publicly and likely behind the scenes to all the general managers, that he's open for business when it comes to wanting to sell some of his future assets and prospects for a player that is maybe in their mid-20s and it and kind of fits the trajectory of the Blackhawks rebuild. And I think that's why, Jack, there were a lot of Blackhawks fans that were maybe disappointed to see a player like Brady Tkachuk, who, I mean, he would have been at the top of my list of players to want to go get this summer. So I understand the disappointment, but it shouldn't come from a lack of disappointment that the Blackhawks weren't interested in a player like that. I think the frustration comes from, when are the Blackhawks going to become a destination for some of these players where they want to start coming to Chicago again? And that's a fair frustration. But having said that, I do think this is why I think this coming season is so important for the Blackhawks to be a competitive team all the way through the end of the regular season. It might not result into a playoff berth, but if the Hawks are playing meaningful games up until the last game of the year, or let's just say the final week of the season, I think that would communicate to the rest of the NHL that the Blackhawks are coming. They have finally arrived. Like, they're knocking on the door again. That's going to become a destination that players are going to want to go to. But when you finish 31st in the NHL again, players have to see tangible improvement. Now, for us, we know what happened for them to get to 31st. Like, December 12th, like 3 months into the season, the Hawks were sitting in a playoff spot from a points percentage standpoint. And then Connor Bedard gets hurt. And then 3 or 4 games later, Frank Nazar gets hurt. They're both done for a month, and it completely derails their season. But players around the NHL they don't want to hear that stuff. They're trying to pick their destination to become, to go to a contender that's a contender right now, not just playoffs, but Stanley Cup. And that's why when you see a list that Brady Tkachuk, I really think it was really just Florida on his list, to be honest with you. And then you see like Vegas, Carolina, Minnesota were also reportedly on his list. Well, two of those four teams were playing in the Stanley Cup final, and the other team, Minnesota, probably would be a Stanley Cup contender if they were in the Pacific Division and not the Central Division, where they had to go through Dallas or Colorado. And so that's where it gets tricky from a Chicago standpoint, where the Hawks are ready to pull the trigger and try to move this rebuild forward, not irresponsibly, but they want to start adding some players in their mid-20s that could make a legit impact in their top six or on the defense side. But it's probably not going to be until next summer, because the Hawks need to show tangible improvement that they are ready to take that next step, just from a standings point of view.
Yeah, it's tough to wait too. Like, it's not to like dismiss that, because it's been a while since the Hawks have been at the top and in the playoff conversation. Like, I mean, COVID they were, but I mean, everybody has what they have to say about COVID. But you look at what San Jose did last year. They didn't make the playoffs, but they were right there at the end of the year, and you're starting to see their names pop up in some of those big name moves and some rumors like, oh, they could swing for this guy or that guy. So if they can get a season like that, and hopefully Connor Bedard can have a full healthy season, because I mean, he was playing at MVP level before he got hurt, and then he's trying to work his way back, and he picked it up at the end there. But if he can have that full year, you see Frank Nazar put a full year together. I mean, you can see the pieces that fit together. They kind of got to do it at the NHL level. And if a free agent sees, oh, they got six young guys that are ready to win, I fit in right there. So it is a big year for them, and hopefully they can take that next step. I liked a lot of what Jeff Blashill did last year, with the young team, and I think he instilled a lot of confidence in them, and now it's just about going out and doing it and hopefully staying healthy and proving that. I mean, these guys were all top picks, so they're clearly talented. You just got to show it now.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'll kind of double down on is, like, you see a lot of the lists that these players are submitting to teams that they want to go to, and it's prioritizing winning first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I know a lot the last couple of years have been made about these warm locations,
yeah.
You know, like teams wanting to go to Florida or Tampa Bay or Vegas. Why do players want to go there? It's because they are Stanley Cup contenders. They're not going there because they want to go on vacation. Like, they want to go to winners in the similar sense of like San Jose and LA. Like, players aren't going to want to go to those warm locations if they're not winning. And like Dallas is another one you could throw out there. Like, they are Stanley Cup contenders. That's why players want to go there. And so when Chicago gets to a point again where the Blackhawks are making playoffs again and they're competing for Stanley Cups, that's going to become a destination where teams are going to want, or players are going to want to take less money to come to Chicago because they want a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And you can even look at the Edmonton Oilers, for example. Like, people want to go play there in Edmonton because they want to play with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yeah. Even though, like, no one says, oh, you want to raise my family in Edmonton or Calgary or whatever. Like, that's not Florida or Tampa Bay. Players just want to go where they want to have a great chance of winning. And then secondary comes also, and also hopefully it sets myself or my family up for, you know, to have a strong living environment. So yeah, it's going to be an important summer for the Blackhawks to obviously improve the team and however they can. But I think next season is super important to try to become this year's version of San Jose last mm-hmm. year or this past season, so that they can show teams like, okay, you know, we're ready to go. And last thing I'll say, I want to come to the defense of Kyle Davidson from this perspective. I feel like there is some impatience out there, again, from the fan base, and I want to take it with a grain of salt because sometimes the fan base on social media is the loudest portion of the fan base, but it's not the most rational, right? Like, sometimes it's just easy to kind of, you know, have a lot of mood swings. But Kyle Davidson, like, I see, like, there's some impatience on wanting him to pull the trigger on a big deal. And while he is certainly trying to do that, like, I've seen, like, oh, the Hawks haven't won a playoff round since the 2015 Stanley Cup. So it's been 11 years, right? Kyle Davidson, when he took over the permanent GM spot of the Blackhawks in March of 2022, the reason he tore it down to the studs is because he recognized, hey, for the last 7 years, mm-hmm. we were spinning our tires and we weren't getting anywhere. So it's almost like you have to ignore the 7 years prior to that and like grade Kyle Davidson on what he's done since he took over as GM, not, you know, the 7 year playoff drought that the Hawk, or the 7 year winning a playoff series drought prior to him getting there. So I feel like there's some residue, like there's some residual effect of the fan base of just wanting to be playing in playoffs and Stanley Cups again because it's been 11 years, but you really have to kind of look at it from a 4 year window of when the rebuild actually started.
Yeah, and I think you've told me this. He always said it was going to be a 5 year plan, so this is going to be the fifth year. And I get it. I mean, you look at some young teams like San Jose, and you're like, oh, are they flying by us? And they always like to compare the two prospect pools, and everyone's like, oh, is San Jose passing Chicago? And maybe right now they're better than them, but you don't know about the future. And if we're still sitting here 2 years from now talking about the lottery, then we have a problem, right? So hopefully they can take that next step, and they have all these young guys. But it's a big offseason. I mean, even if they can't make that big move, there's still moves to be made to improve this roster. And that's the easy thing is tearing it down. It's harder to build it back up, and we're starting to get into that building back up part. So this is where the GMs are, you know, are made, where they're able to figure out how to build the team back up. So he's taken a smart approach. He's armed himself with a big war chest of stuff, so he has the firepower to do it. Now it's about executing and finding those right players.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
All right, speaking of finding the right players, let's fast forward to the NHL draft, which is going to be happening on Friday, the first round, and then the second rounds 2 through 7 is happening on Saturday morning. Hawks, as it stands, have the number 4 overall pick, and the last time we did a podcast, we were reacting to the lottery results, and there was a disappointment that the Hawks fell from 2 to 4, mm-hmm. and then it quickly shifted into possible optimism that the player or two that they want at number 4, whether it's Ivar Stenberg, Chase Reed, could potentially still be there for the Blackhawks at number 4, given how the lottery shaked out with Toronto getting the first overall pick, San Jose getting the second overall pick, and then Vancouver getting the third overall pick. Now, Jack, in that last podcast we did, our path for the Blackhawks to potentially draft Stenberg at number 4 was very realistic from a standpoint. Let's just say, hypothetically, Gavin McKenna goes number 1 to the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. The San Jose Sharks are sitting there at number 2 in desperate need of a defenseman, and they could choose whoever they want. Chase Reed, Keaton Verhoeve, Carson Carles, Albert Smith, whoever, they can pick that player at number 2. And then there was the Vancouver Canucks. They're sitting there at number 3, and all the reports going into the lottery and then post-draft lottery was how big of fans a lot of the organization was of Caleb Malhotra, who at the time of the lottery, they had not yet named Manny Malhotra their head coach, who was their AHL head coach. So they basically promoted Manny Malhotra, who is Caleb's dad, to their NHL head coach. And I don't know if there was like dot connecting or if it was, because we heard a lot from Vancouver local radio hosts and beat writers that they're very high on Caleb Malhotra. And so you just figure, okay, Manny, Caleb, it's a no-brainer. They have all the info on this guy. They're probably going to start their rebuild by drafting a center. Well, the last week or so, it feels like word slash whispers slash reports have started to trickle out that Vancouver is not going to take Caleb Malhotra with the number 3 overall pick, even if he is on the board. Now, I don't know how to interpret that. I don't know if Stenberg is there too, they're going to take Stenberg over Malhotra. Because like, what if Stenberg goes number 2 to San Jose, and now Vancouver is sitting there with Malhotra or defenseman, center defenseman? Like, is the scenario now they would still take a defenseman over Malhotra? I don't know. So I don't know how to interpret that. But it does seem, I will say, it does seem less likely that Stenberg will be available to the Blackhawks at number 4. And they'll have to see how the board shakes out. But I'm not as optimistic that he'll be there at number 4 from than I was a few weeks ago and even when the lottery happened.
Yeah, it does seem like it. We found the path, and then a lot of the mock drafts backed it up too, and it seemed like, all right, there's a pretty good chance. And now it really does seem like 50-50. Like, you could look at one mock draft and it has Stenberg to the Hawks. You look at another one, it has him picking Carson Carles. You'll get another one. I'm looking at one at the Athletic now, it has Chase Reed from a few days ago. So it really is gonna, it seems like the draft's gonna start at 2 with the Sharks, and if they go defenseman, then it's what's Vancouver gonna do? And then if they, wherever they go, it seems like the Blackhawks are going to react to that. So, and they want the best player available, and it seems like that's still where they're at, even if they are pretty strong on the right side. But it does seem a little less likely getting to draft week. But it's also been, what, almost 2 months since the lottery, so there's a lot of talk, and then sometimes the experts like to shake things up on based on what they're hearing or what's a team leaking, but it does. I do feel a little, it feels more like a toss up now. Before, when we did that first podcast, it was like, okay, yeah, they need defensemen. You know, Caleb Malhotra, that fits. You know, his dad's probably going to be there. The Hawks get Stenberg, and now it's just kind of like, well, now that you hear all this stuff, and there's been some moves made, and you're looking at where teams are picking and their needs, and it just, everything can change because I love the build up to draft season, but there's so much talk and then it gets all jumbled and you really don't know what's going to happen. But it does seem like the Hawks are ready to react wherever. And I do wonder if they go 3 forwards off the top, if they start fielding calls for trades, Just seems pretty open if they don't get that forward they want. And it seems like they want another forward. And if they're at four, their options are really open.
I think at number four overall right now, like as we record this on Monday afternoon, I think the Blackhawks would be very confident if they drafted either Ivar Stenberg or Chase Reed.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would be happy with either one of those two. The challenge is, are one of those two players going to be there at number four? I will say this too. Like, if there is a path for Stenberg to be there at number four for the Blackhawks, originally I thought it was going to be, the path would be McKenna to go first, Chase Reed to go second, and then Caleb Malhotra to go number three to Vancouver. While I still think the first two picks are going to be the same, McKenna, then Reed, there could be a potential path where Vancouver takes a defenseman at number three and not Stenberg. Because Pat Boyle and I had Frank Saravalli on our podcast a week and a half ago, and he wasn't as convinced at the time that Malhotra was going to be the pick for the Canucks at number three. And he had mentioned that there were some members of the Vancouver organization that were making their pitch for Keaton Verhoff, who is obviously one of the four or five defensemen that are being talked about of going inside the top 10. And then we also had Corey Pronman, who's probably the best draft expert out there
really for
The Athletic.
Yeah,
he also made it seem like Vancouver would put a premier position ahead of, you know, potentially a, let's just say, center defense. Like, that's how you build your teams, right? Down the middle and on the back end. And so if Stenberg is the pick, like, do you really want to start your rebuild if you're the Canucks building it around a winger? Now, you could do that if the winger is Patrick Kane or if it's Mitch Marner, but the internal debate is just how good is Stenberg. Like, is he Nikita Kucherov-esque, or is he more, you know, Corey Pronman said Jake Guentzel. Like, I don't see the Jake Guentzel comparison. Like, I see him more like Nikita Kucherov level from an offensive standpoint, and just like his edge work, like maybe not 140 point guy, but like, just he's so elite offensively, vision, playmaking ability, his hockey IQ is off the charts. And so I get it. But if there is a path for Stenberg to be there at number four, it feels like it would be the Canucks surprising a little bit and maybe going with a defenseman and Keaton Verhoff and not Stenberg at number three, how we originally thought. That now, I don't know if that's just trying to be optimistic, but if you are Vancouver and you are trying to build, you're launching your rebuild this year, you know, like, is it a center defenseman? Like, that's why I think Malhotra, also his name garnered a lot of attention, because you can launch your rebuild with a center and not think twice about it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I didn't even think about Vancouver taking defensemen. I mean, you look at the draft, it's defense heavy, and there's a lot of good defensemen. Like we said, I mean, we mentioned like six guys that could go in the top four with defensemen. That's not even including the forwards. So it really is going to come down to the boards. I wish we could see some of these teams' boards, but you can just jump from draft analyst to analyst, and you see like two defensemen way higher than the other ones, and vice versa wherever you go. So I haven't even thought about the Vancouver connection there to a defenseman, because that would make it happen for the Hawks if they want. I think the Hawks really do want Stenberg. You look at his fit; he would be up in the top six. He gives them the firepower, another goal scorer. I think the Hawks probably have him higher on their board than maybe some team. I don't know what teams are thinking, but for the fit, it seems like that's the best fit. And then you look around at the other needs, like you said, like if you want to build a team, you need a strong back end. And some of these teams really do need that. But you look at Stenberg and you're like, that's fun, right? Like, that's a fun pick. You picture him with Celebrini, or like you said, if Vancouver thinks of him that highly, they're like, all right, this is a good guy to start a rebuild with. And then the Hawks, obviously, they could pair him with a Bedard or whoever. So I'm antsy to get to Friday, because I want to see how this shakes out. But that would be interesting if Vancouver went defense and Stenberg sitting there for the Hawks.
Well, it's funny, because it feels like a lot of the time that we've spent from the draft lottery to as we record this going into NHL draft week. It's been like all the attention from a Blackhawks perspective, from a fan perspective, maybe internally, they're discussing all options, obviously.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say discussing, but they're preparing for any avenue, right? But it feels like a lot of our attention has been on Stenberg or Reed. But let's just say both of those guys are gone when the Blackhawks pick at number four. The decision now becomes, do they go with a center in Caleb Malhotra, or do they take the best available defenseman, who in my opinion would probably be Carson Carles or Albert Smits? Like, I just don't know if the Hawks would pick Keaton Verhoeve. This is no inside knowledge whatsoever. I just think Chase Reed is such an elite level offensive talent on the back end that you wouldn't mind him over, like, you wouldn't mind overloading right-handed shot defensemen with Lefshinov and Renzel if you feel like Reed has the potential to be the best of the three. I personally am not as confident that Keaton Verhoeve would vault to number one on the Blackhawks defenseman chart over Lefshinov and Sam Renzel, and so I would be a little bit hesitant on that. I just think, just from the games I've watched Verhoeve, it feels like there's a lot of unpredictability in his game, and I just don't know if they can have him in addition to Lefshinov, who likes to freelance, right? Like, that would just be a lot of unpredictability on the back end. So it would really come down to, if you're the Blackhawks, do you take Carson Carles or Albert Smits, or do you take the center in Caleb Malhotra? And the reason why it's an interesting discussion is because the back end is actually easy. If it's Carles or Smits, you can put them on the left side, top pairing defenseman, and boom, that solves an organizational problem that you now have your right side figured out and you have your left side figured out, presumably, assuming that these players hit the way that the Blackhawks are counting on them to. If you draft Caleb Malhotra, the decision to me seems like long-term, Anton Frondell would then become Connor Bedard's permanent winger, because I don't think you're drafting Caleb Malhotra to slide him over to the wing long-term. Now, this coming season, Frondell is likely going to play more as the second-line center because Caleb Malhotra is going to college, so he won't be available to the Blackhawks right away. But long-term, like when the Hawks are puzzle-piecing their future lineup, to me, that would say Bedard, Frondell, that's a pairing. Frondell is going to be on the wing. And then your second line center is Caleb Malhotra. Figure it out, who the wingers are going to be. But like, boom, you got your first and second line centers. And so that kind of changes the organizational picture just a bit, because right now, before we know how the draft is going to go on Friday, right now we're assuming that Bedard and Frondell are going to be the long-term one and two centers. Bedard for sure, but it's really a question of what happens with Frondell. So, you know, we'll see. If the Hawks end up taking Malhotra at number four, I feel like we got our answer on who Bedard's permanent winger is going to be in the long-term.
Yeah, I liked a lot of, I mean, it was a very small sample, but Bedard and Frondell looked really good together, and now we're going to see Frondell lead his own line this year, but that would make sense. I mean, I feel like if Malhotra's there, he is very enticing for those reasons you said. And just to add someone who, I mean, he's a great playmaker too with the puck. So he could help set up offense. He could help drive offense, and he's pretty good in his own end too. So that's a plus as well at the forward position. And it does seem like, I feel like if the Reed and Stenberg are gone, they would go with a left side defenseman just to fill that slot. Like you said, like either one who they pick, if it's Carles or Smits, like boom, you just put them up there, like you said. And then you got all these young defensemen. You're going to get even younger, but you have all these young defensemen, and you look at your future decor, and it's like, if we can get these guys to hit and develop them, then they're in a good spot. But that would be really interesting. That's probably one of the scenarios they're really looking at right now, is if Reed and Stenberg are gone, who are our guys after that? So that would make it really interesting if we get to that point, what Kyle Davidson and his scouting department, how they rate these guys, because it seems like after the top three-ish, it's really going to be jumbled.
Yeah, and last thing before, because I don't want to make this too long of a podcast, because we're going to react to a lot of the stuff that's happening in an episode post-NHL draft, but I would be very surprised if the Blackhawks ended up moving the fourth overall pick at this point. Like, if they do, it would be clear as to why. Like, the player they would be getting back, it would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I also have a hard time believing that the Blackhawks are going to trade up to number two with San Jose to potentially just guarantee one of those two. even though, like, we'll see, like, if internally they feel like those, like, Chase Reed or Stenberg would be significantly ahead of who they would get at number four. Like, if they feel there's a significant drop off, maybe you do go trade up to number two and just kind of iron that out. I personally don't know if I would give up another first round pick to do it. Like, that'd right. be a really important asset. So I think the Hawks are going to make the pick at number four, and it's just a matter of who's going to be available to them when they do select. So a lot's going to happen. That's going to be interesting that transpires between now and the NHL draft. But also, it feels like going into Friday, there's going to be a lot of unpredictability, yeah. even right when the draft starts. Like, there's still going to be, you know, like, Vancouver will be sitting there at number three, and I think we're all still going to be like, all right, which direction yeah. are they going to go?
What are we
like,
doing?
What are we doing? So we'll see how that plays out. Last thing before we wrap up, we got to mention the retirement announcement of former Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews, who the Winnipeg Jets had announced a press conference scheduled for Friday at the Jonathan Toews Sportsplex, which is in Winnipeg. That obviously indicated that Toews was going to hang up the skates, mm-hmm. and sure enough, he did. And Jack, I don't know if you were able to watch the entire announcement, the press conference mm-hmm. of Jonathan Toews, but he spent like 8 of the first yep. 18 minutes talking about how thankful he was to the city of Chicago, to the ownership group, to the management, to the coaching staff, to the players. He mentioned all the core guys that he won multiple Stanley Cups with. And for what I was really happy that Jonathan Toews was able to go out on his own terms. We know that he took that 2-year hiatus from hockey, went on a healing journey, came back to play for the Winnipeg Jets. Unfortunate situation for him, because when he signed a 1-year deal with Winnipeg, they were coming off being literally the number one seed in yeah. the entire NHL the year prior, and then they end up missing the playoffs because they just all had really bad years. And so, selfishly, I was looking forward to watching Jonathan Toews in the playoffs again, but we obviously didn't get that opportunity. But Jack, the fact that he was able to miss 2 years in the NHL, and then he came back, and while his numbers don't look great, like his production obviously was not there, he played in all 82 yeah. games after, you know, the physical, mental stuff that he was going through. And so I thought that in itself was an accomplishment, but we probably don't even have enough time on this podcast in one episode to describe what his impact was in the city of Chicago and what he did for the Blackhawks organization as a whole and the fan base as well.
Yeah, he's a legend. I mean, I was in high school and whatnot when the Hawks were winning, and I mean, it's Kane and Toews. That's all you knew. You know, they were always around and the face of that core. And last year, like you said, the numbers weren't impressive, but he played in all the 82 games. I mean, hockey's a hard sport to come back in. I remember when he was trying to come back, we're reading all these articles, and they're like, "Do you think he can do it?" And a lot of the players he worked out with were like, "Yeah, he looks good, and he can get through an NHL season." And we always hear players say that, like, when they announce their retirement on their own, if it's not like an injury or no one signs them, going out on their own terms means a lot to them. And for him to be able to do that was really cool to see him just stand up there and talk about his career and how proud he was of it. And obviously, Hall of Fame type career. He's going to be a legend in Chicago. I can't wait to see what the Hawks do to bring him back. I'm assuming this upcoming year he's going to get his number retired at some point, you would think, and he's going in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I mean, definitely he's added to that Chicago legend status in the city for sure as a top athlete. But it was cool. I mean, even on social media, too. I mean, Patrick Kane said something. He shouted out, like, everybody in the Hawks organization that he was with, and that was cool to see him take that time to shout that out, and he was able to go out on his own terms.
Yeah, you mentioned next up, Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. jersey in the rafters, probably a statue too, like yeah. at some point outside the United Center in the same way that Stan Mikita and Bobby Hall are out there. Like, wouldn't be surprised if we saw a statue of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews at some point. And so, I mean, words honestly can't describe like what he has meant to the organization and how he helped put Chicago back on the hockey map. And one last thing, I'll share a personal story. I can't remember if I shared this when he was here with Winnipeg, but you obviously know every home game I do a one-on-one coach interview mm-hmm. with Jeff Blashill. And usually those interviews happen out. Well, I should say the previous coaches, when I did it outside in the hallway. Well, with Jeff Blashill, he likes bringing me into his coach's office and we just do it in there. And so I was waiting. This was the Winnipeg game when the Jets were in town. Jonathan Toews, big story, right? I was waiting outside the coach's room to do the interview with Jeff Blashill, waiting for him to kind of signal me in. Well, the Blackhawks locker room opened and all the media members go inside and they're talking to the players inside the locker room. The hallway is completely empty. And all of a sudden I look to my right and I see Jonathan Toews, who's sitting there with one of the assistant coaches on a laptop, and they're going over some film. Well, Toews happens to turn around and he looks at me and we make eye contact and I give him like a wave. He's like, I don't know, like 40 feet away from me. I give him a wave, and not only does he give me a wave, but he, like, after he finished with the assistant coach, he literally starts, he walks over to me, gives me a handshake and is like, hey, how you doing? Like, it's great to see you. We just had like a quick couple minute conversation, and he like felt overwhelmed by how the night was going to go. Cause he's like, I don't feel like worthy of all this attention that's going to come tonight. And so I just thought, like, from a personal standpoint, he was like, he never felt like he was too big for the city of Chicago or for anyone. He has like a humility about him. And so that's something that I've always appreciated about Jonathan Toews. And so I think we're gonna miss him here in Chicago.
For sure.
We miss watching the player, but we wish him all the best in retirement. So looking forward to seeing what the future holds for him and whether he does take some time off and then get back into the game.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I think that just sums up the kind of leader he was and the kind of guy he was on and off the ice. And great career to the captain, Jonathan Toews.
All right, last thing, NHL draft is on Friday. Round 2 through 7 is on Saturday. And then we're going to have free agency that's obviously happening next week, July 1st. So Jack and I will have a podcast after the NHL draft. And then we'll also have one after free agency to kind of react to the week and a half ahead. So you got two podcasts coming up from Jack and I. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.